Gemini know. What should I say? We actually have people who know what they're talking about, I think.
Simon.
Oh, yeah, that was my bad. Good. I was worried that I would have to say something that I'm not quite up to speed on. I'll just quickly say, look, it's very exciting times. This model that I think we're playing with, 1.5 Pro.
Yeah,
we internally call it Goldfish. It's a little secret. I don't actually, I know why. It's because Goldfish have very short memories. It's kind of an ironic name. When we were training this model, we didn't expect it to come out nearly as powerful as it did or to have all the capabilities that it does. In fact, it was just part of the scaling ladder experiment. But when we saw what it could do, we thought, hey, we don't want to wait. We want the world to try it out. And I'm grateful that all of you here are here to give it a go. What else did I say? Are they introducing somebody else? What's happening next?
I see the team of equipment have a lot of questions.
Okay. Good questions. I'm probably going to have to defer to the technical experts on those things, but fire away. Any questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
The man with the naked shirt.
So what are your reflections on the Gemini art happening?
The Gemini art?
Okay.
I was going to stop. Okay. We definitely messed up on the image generation I think it was mostly due to just not thorough testing, it definitely, for good reasons, upset a lot of people on the images, as you might have seen. I think the images prompted a lot of people to really deeply test the base text models, and the text models have two separate effects going. One thing is, quite honestly, if you deeply test any text model out there, whether it's ours, ChatGPT, Grok, what have you, it'll say, some pretty weird things that are out there that, definitely feel far left, for example. And kind of any model, if you try hard enough, could be prompted to in that review. But also, just to be fair, there's definitely work in that model. So once again, we haven't fully understood why it means left in many cases, and that's not our intention. But if you try it starting over this last week, it should be at least 80% better of the test cases that we've covered. So I invite all of you to try it. This should be a big effect. The model that you're trying, the Gemini 1.5 Pro, which isn't in the sort of public-facing app, the thing we used to call BART, shouldn't have much of that effect, except for that general effect that if you sort of red team any AI model, you're going to get weird corner cases, but we're not, even though this one hasn't been sort of thoroughly tested that way, we don't expect it to have strong particular leanings. I suppose you can give it a go. But we're more excited today to try out the long context and some of the technical features.
Thank you. Yeah.
A video chat GPT. We probably wouldn't call it that. multimodal, both in and out, is very exciting. With video, audio, and we run early experiments, it's an exciting field. Even the little, do you guys remember the duck video that kind of got us in trouble? So to be fair, I was fully disclaimed in the video that it wasn't real time. But that is something that we've actually done, is fed it images and, frame by frame, do, kind of talk about it. So that's super exciting. I don't think we have anything like real time to present now today. Yeah.
Are you personally writing code for some projects?
I have been actually writing code, to be perfectly honest. It's not like code that you would be very impressed by. but yeah, every once in a while, just a little like kind of debugging or just trying to understand for myself how a model works, or to just analyze the performance in a slightly different way or something like that. But little bits and pieces that make me feel connected. It's, once again, I don't think you would be very technically impressed by it. But it's nice to be able to play with that. And sometimes I'll use the AI bots to write the code for me because I'm rusty and they actually do a pretty good job. So I'm very pleased about it. Okay, question in the back.
Yes.
Want to put that first.
So pre-AI simulation, pre-AI, the closest thing we got to simulators was game engines. What do you think the new advances in the field mean for us to create better games or game engines in general? Do you have a view on that?
Sorry, no, that wasn't like a sigh because of disapproval or anything. What can I say about game engines? I think obviously, like on the graphics, you can do new and interesting things with game engines. But I think maybe the more interesting is the interaction with the other, virtual players and things like that, like whatever the characters are. I guess these days, you can call people or brand NPCs or whatever. But in the future, maybe NPCs will be actually very colorful and interesting.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really rich possibility. Probably not enough of a gamer to think through all the possible futures with AI, but it opens up many possibilities. Yeah.
What kind of like applications are you most excited about for people like building on Gemini?
Yeah, what kind of applications am I most excited about? I think just ingesting right now, or for the version we're trying to do, 1.5 Pro, long context is something we're really experimenting with. And whether you dump a ton of code in there or video, I've just seen people do, I don't think a model can do this, to be perfectly honest, but people like dump in their code and do a video of the app and say, here's the bug, and the model will figure out where the bug is in the code, which is kind of mind-blowing that that works at all. I honestly don't really understand how the model does that. But I'm not saying you should do exactly that thing. Experimenting with things that really require the long context. Do we have the servers to support all these people here banging on it?
We have people on the servers here as well.
Okay, yeah. My phone is buzzing. Everybody's really stressed out. It's
buzzing.
Because a million context queries do take a bit of computer time, but you should go for it. Yeah.
You mentioned a few times that you're not sure how this model works, or you weren't sure that this could do the thing that it does. Do you think we can reach a point where we actually understand how these models work, or will they remain black boxes and we just trust the maker of the model to not mess up?
No, I think you can learn to understand. The fact is that when we train these things, there are 1,000 different capabilities you could try out. So on the one hand, it's very surprising that it can do it. On the other hand, if it's any particular one capability, you can go back and, we can look at where the attention is going at each layer between like the code and the video. No, we can't deeply analyze it. And personally done that. I don't know how far along the researchers have gotten to doing that kind of thing, but it takes a huge amount of time and study to really slice apart why a model is able to do some things. And honestly, most of the time that I see slicing, it's like why it's not doing something. So I guess I'd say it's mostly because I think we could understand it, and people probably are. But most of the effort is spent figuring out where it goes wrong, not where it goes wrong.
Yeah.
AGI literature, there's like recursive self-improvements. So what are your thoughts on the implications of extremely long context windows and a language model being able to modify its own prompts and what that has to do with like autonomy and building towards AGI potentially?
Yeah, I think it's very exciting to, you know, to have these things actually improve themselves. I remember when I was, I think in grad school, I wrote this game where like it was like a wall maze you were flying through, where you shot the walls. The walls corresponded to bits of memory, and it would just like flip those bits. And the goal was to crash it as quickly as possible, which doesn't really answer your question. But that was an example of self-modifying code, I guess not for a particularly useful purpose, but anyway, I'd have people, you know, play that until the computer crashed. Anyhow, on your positive example, I see today people just using it to augment them. I think, you know, open loop, could it work for certain, I think for certain very limited domains today, like if you, without the human intervention to guide it, I bet it could actually do some kind of continued improvement. But I don't think we're quite at the stage where for, I don't know, real serious things. And first of all, minimum context is not actually enough for big code bases to turn on the entire code base. But you could do like retrieval and then annotation editing. I guess I haven't personally played it enough, but I haven't seen it be at the stage today where a complex sort of piece of code will just iteratively improve itself. But it's a great tool, and like I said, with human assistance, we for sure do. I mean, like I will use Gemini to like try to do something with Gemini code even today. But not very open loop, deep, sophisticated things, I guess. Let me get somebody in back just because of, yes. Yeah. Cool. So you first, and then the lady behind.
So I'm curious, what's your take on some ultimate decision or plan at least to raise $7 trillion? I'm just curious, like how do you see that from obviously or something?
You know, look, I saw the headline. I didn't get too deep into it. I assumed it was sort of a provocative headline or statement. I don't know. It doesn't ask me for $7 trillion. I think it was meant for like chip development or something like that. I'm not an expert in chip development, but I don't get the sense that it's just something you can like sort of pour money, like even huge amounts of money, out of chips. I'm not an expert in the market though. Let's see, let me try somebody raising the back. Is there one? Okay, yes. Sir. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So the under the training cost of black and red model is like super high. So how do you envision monetizing
it? Oh, the training cost of models are super high. Yeah, the training costs are definitely high. You know, that's something companies like us have to cope with. But I think, you know, the long-term utility is incomparably higher. Like if you kind of measure it on a human productivity level, you know, if it saves somebody an hour of work over the course of a week, you know, that hour is worth a lot. You know, there are a lot of people using these things, or will be using them. But you do, it's a big bet on the future. Costs less than $7 trillion.
What's your thoughts on how model training on device?
Model training on device.
Running on device.
Model running on device. Model running on device. We've shipped it to, I think, Android Chrome and, Pixel phones. I think even Chrome runs a pretty decent model these days. We just open sourced Gemma, which was pretty small, a couple billion parameters. I can't remember. I mean, it's really useful, you know, it can be low latency, you're not dependent on connectivity, and small models can
actually consider hack models.
Oh, which industries do I think have a big opportunity? I think it's just like very hard to predict. I mean, there are sort of the obvious industries that people think of, sort of customer service, or kind of just like, you know, analyzing, I don't know, like different lengthy documents and kind of the workflow automation, I guess. Those are obvious, but I think there are going to be non-obvious ones, which I can't predict, especially as you look at these sort of multimodal models and the surprising capabilities that they have. And I feel like, I mean, that's why we have all of you here. You guys are the creative ones to figure that out. Okay, you start.
My name is Alex. We run millions of thousands of customer service chats every day and on LLMs, and previously GPT-4 was the only thing that really worked, and now it seems that GAI is another thing that really works. Thank you so much for this. And it seems
like to hear it. Thank you.
It's way more cheap when it works even better sometimes. So the question is, will it stay same cheap, or are you planning to raise prices at some point, or you know?
I'm actually not on top of the pricing thing. I don't expect that we will raise prices, however, because I mean, there are fundamentally a couple of trends. One is just that these, you know, there's just optimizations and things around inference that are just constantly, like, all the time. So it says, it's 10% idea, it's 20% idea, da, da, da. And like month after month that adds up. I think our TPUs are actually pretty damn good at inferencing, not the same with GPUs, but for certain inference workloads, they're just configured really nicely. And the other big effect is actually we're able to make smaller models more and more effective just with new generations, just whatever, architectural changes, training changes, all kinds of things like that. So the models are getting more powerful even at the same time of size. So I would not expect for